translation. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see. For his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the Supersoul, who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Please repeat. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see. For his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the Supersoul, who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Purport. Offering prayers to Krishna, Srimati Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, said, Alaksham sarva bhutanam antar bahir avastitam. Krishna, you reside both inside and outside of everything. Yet the unintelligent conditioned souls cannot see you. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through jnana chakshush, eyes of knowledge. He who opens these eyes of knowledge is called a spiritual master. Thus we offer our prayers to the spiritual master with the following shloka. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with the torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Gotamiya Tantra. The Guru's task is to open the disciple's eyes of knowledge. When a disciple is awakened from ignorance to knowledge, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere, because the Lord actually is everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. The Lord resides within this universe. He resides within the hearts of all living entities, and he resides even within the atom. Because we lack perfect knowledge, we cannot see God. But a little deliberation can help us to see God everywhere. This requires training. With a little deliberation, even the most degraded person can perceive the presence of God. If we take into account whose property is the vast ocean, whose property is the vast land, how the sky exists, how the numberless millions of stars and planets are set in the sky, who has made this universe and whose property it is, we should certainly come to the conclusion that there is a proprietor of everything. When we claim proprietorship over a certain piece of land, whether individually or for our families or for our nations, we should also consider how we became the proprietors. The land was there before our birth, before we came to the land. How did it become our property? Such deliberation will help us understand that there is a supreme proprietor of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Godhead is always awake. In the conditioned stage, we forget things. because we change our bodies. But because the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not change his body, he remembers past, present, and future. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 1, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. I spoke this science of God, Bhagavad Gita, to the sun god at least 40 million years ago. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna how he could remember incidents that had taken place so long ago, the Lord answered that Arjuna was also present at that time. Because Arjuna is Krishna's friend, wherever Krishna goes, Arjuna goes. But the difference is that Krishna remembers everything, whereas the living entity like Arjuna, being a minute particle of the Supreme Lord, forgets. Therefore it is said, the Lord's vigilance is never diminished. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, verse 15. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature is always present within the hearts of all living entities, and from him come memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. This is also indicated in this verse by the word suparanam, which means friend. In the Svetashvatara Upanishad 4:6, it is therefore said, Dvasuparna sayuja sakaya samanam vriksham parishash vajate. Two birds are sitting on the same tree as friends. One bird is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other is simply observing. This observing bird is always present as a friend to the eating bird, and giving him remembrance of things he wanted to do. Thus, if we take into account the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our daily affairs, we can see him, or at least perceive his presence everywhere. The words chakshur yasya narishyati mean that although we cannot see him, this does not mean that he cannot see us. Nor does he die when the cosmic manifestation is annihilated. The example is given in this connection that the sunshine is present when the sun is present, but when the sun is not present or when we cannot see the sun, this does not mean that the sun is lost. The sun is there, but we cannot see it. Similarly, although we cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our present darkness, our lack of knowledge, he is always present, seeing our activities. As the Paramatma, he is the witness and advisor, Upadrashta and Anumanta. Therefore, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and studying authorized literatures, one can understand that God is present before us, seeing everything, although we have no eyes with which to see him. Yam pashyati na pashyantam chakshur yasya narishyati tam bhuta nilayam devam suparnam upadavata. Although the Supreme Personality of God, it constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see, for his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the super soul who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Magyana Tamrindasya Ganjana Shalapya Chakshumilitamina Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pstai Bhutale Shimati Shivaram Swamanita Namane. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pstai Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamanita Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaurvani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashkacha Deshtarne. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langai tegirim yakripata maham vandeshi gurundinatarnam. Narayanam namaskritya naram chava narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamadirayat. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita Gaudadaya Prishpanvanta Chitra Shando Tamonudo. Offer my humble obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have risen simultaneously over the horizon of Gaudadesh, just like the sun and the moon, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and to wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. This verse is talking a lot about seeing Krishna, being able to see Krishna. And there's a science to seeing Krishna. But the science is mysterious. It's not just a matter of crunching numbers and then hitting the hitting the button and then coming to a conclusion and then, okay, now we have our evidence. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's telling Arjuna Mayate Dya, me to you. I'm speaking me to you. Yoga Prakta Puratana. Prakta means to be declaring. This very ancient science. Because you're my devotee, and you're my friend. Bhakta Sime Sakachati. Rahasyam Hyataruttamam. And therefore, this word Rahasyam means mystery. Therefore, you can understand the mystery of this great science. You can understand the mystery of the science. So we don't often think of science as having a sort of a mystery aspect. It's just, these are the facts. We just deal with facts. And, you know, scientists are always saying, you know, we're dealing with the real world. This isn't metaphysical. But science is metaphysical. It's both. There's a process which indicates that there's something it's like a procedure. It's almost like it implies a mechanistic procedure. But then Krishna's saying to him, you can, because you're my friend, the whole science is actually born out of something called a relationship between people. If it was actually a science, it would be a relationship between robots. If it was a science in a mechanistic sense, it would be just, you know, this robot, and they press their buttons. But we're not robots. Because we're persons, and because we're not robots, as much as, you know, the leaders of society may perceive us as being robots, and the kind of mass media have this arrogant conception of the masses being robotic and being easily led and easily influenced. As much as that concept is being bandied around, we're actually individual. So because everyone's a unique individual, there's an unpredictability there. If everyone was the same, then you can extrapolate and you can assume so much. But because everyone's an individual, then you can't predict them because they're unique. By virtue of their uniqueness, you don't know what's going on inside that person. The only person who knows what's going on inside that person is that person. Because there's no one else who's that person. So this is very important to consider. But the environment in which each individual exists here in the material world, we can extrapolate. We can sort of see mechanistic relationships in terms of our environment, because our environment is material. We're not material. You know, the Bhagavad Gita explains it really clearly. Bhumirapanalo vayukamano buddhevacha ahankaraitiyame bina prakritiyashtra. Separated material energies. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Aperyamitastvanyam prakriti vidhi me param. But there's another energy which is superior, jiva bhuta mahabaho yayadam dharyate jagat, which is the living entities. So they're superior energy. But the inferior energy works according to laws that you can predict. The superior energy works according to laws that you can't predict. But the inferior laws you can. So, you know, if you put iron filings next to a magnet, you know what's going to happen. They're going to come together. And if you put those iron filings out into the, just leave them out in the, subject them to the elements, then they're going to rust. And this material body, which is just made of material elements, if you start putting alcohol into that, into this material body, this body is going to get disorientated. Certain, Krishna's created the laws of cause and effect. So this unpredictable element, this unique spiritual superior energy that's within this body, comes in contact with this material energy and becomes conditioned. Hare Krishna. Sattvam rajas tamaiti. Prakriti. I can't remember that verse now, but it just states that this material energy is made of the three material elements, three material modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with these modes, that living entity becomes conditioned. Of course, unless that living entity is a pure devotee and is fixed in their, and is connected to Krishna, and completely fixed and secure in that connection, then that person doesn't become influenced by the material energy. But otherwise, we become covered. The soul becomes covered. And then the soul does become robotic in terms of, you know, it's identification with the material elements. The material elements are just totally at the whim of the modes of material nature. So you can kind of predict what someone's going to do if they're in material consciousness. You know, if they're in material consciousness, they're identifying with themselves as the body. Then just like when you put the iron filings next to the magnet, there's an attraction. So similarly, when someone's identifying with this material body, you put this material body next to, you know, this male material body next to a female material body, and you're going to get attraction. That's not that doesn't necessarily have to be like that. And it depends on, you know, what scientific process you're following. If you're following the scientific process of becoming self-realized as pure spirit soul servant of Krishna, then that doesn't have to happen. But if you're following the process of becoming more and more conditioned by the material energy, then that's going to happen. It just has to happen. So the process of purification, of becoming purified of this identification with this material body, is throughout the Vedic scriptures. There's one in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, beautiful verse. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye Udoi. That this pure spiritual identity is there all the time, but it does get covered. But by the process, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte, by the process of hearing about Krishna, it says the soul naturally awakens. The soul naturally awakens. And other places it says it doesn't have to be just hearing. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam that says yat kirtanam, yat shravanam, yat ikshanam, which means by glorifying Krishna, remembering Krishna, and by just having the audience of Krishna, and by offering prayers to Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and worshipping Krishna, by all these activities we become purified. The Bhagavad Gita says, sarva piyati yagya vido, those who know this become freed from all their sinful reactions. And having tasted, it says, having tasted the nectar of the fruits of sacrifice, having tasted the nectar of actually becoming free from the domination of the modes of material nature, tasting that, they proceed to the supreme eternal atmosphere. And, you know, Bhagavad Gita says also that vitaragbayo krodham manmayamam upasritaha bahavogyana tapasa putamad bhavamagataha, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being absorbed in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me. And thus they all attain transcendental love for me. It's really only in that state of love that the full freedom exists, where it says, being freed from attachment, fear, and anger. Because these are the things that cover the soul. Attachment, fear, and anger. Other places it says lust, anger, greed. Every sane person must give these up. Other places it says attachment and aversion. These are the stumbling blocks. Attachment and aversion. The attachment and aversion are just as bad as each other, because if you're attached, that turns into aversion. And if you're into aversion, that will turn into attachment. You just simply bounce back and forth. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gauranitai Ki Jai. It's a bouncy game, you know. Attachment and aversion, otherwise it can be put as boga tyag. People get into this whole enjoyment, unrestrained, and then they become disgusted with themselves, they become degraded, humiliated, embarrassed, horribly situated in a mode of ignorance, and then they decide to do something about it. And then from that enjoyment, they get into the aversion. And so, how long can they last? that's just as artificial. So they're giving something up, and they're saying, all right, I've washed my hands of this, never again. But gradually it sort of creeps back into the mind, the thought of enjoying again, and the whole process of, you know, rationalizing, and then they bounce back to trying to enjoy again. Both situations are artificial. The only natural position is this position of loving exchange with Krishna. And that's what devotional service is about. It has to start somewhere, you know. Recently, Ananda Chaitanya gave a class and was speaking about this, that it may not be there, the spontaneous love for serving Krishna. I mean, it just can't be there at the beginning. That has to be cultivated. That has to be developed. And it has to start somewhere. So it starts on the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. This Vaidhi platform. It's just following the rules and regulations. Diligently. Sincerely. Of course, if you've got, you know, if you've had a sort of very pious previous life, it may automatically be there. But if you haven't got that samskar from a previous life, then you just have to simply apply yourself. But the beautiful thing about sadhana is that it goes from Vaidhi to Raganuga. It goes from just simply working hard at it and being very deliberate to the point where it becomes spontaneous and very fluent. And very natural. So that's why Prabhupada's given us these boundaries, four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. But also read these books, because as I've been mentioning, that's where the real purification comes from. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. The Sambandha is you actually understanding the ground rules, you're understanding who Krishna is. If you understand who Krishna is, when Krishna appears, you'll be able to recognize Krishna. If you don't know the ground rules, Krishna can come knocking on your door and you're just not going to know who it is. And you'll say, you know, sorry, we already have some. And just shut the door. That's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radhe Krishna, Nahe Anya, the absolute truth, Radha and Krishna combined. His own servant had heard this rumor about about Krishna appearing on the Jamuna. And he asked Lord Chaitanya that everyone's talking about Krishna. He's appearing at night on the Jamuna. Is it okay with you if I go and get darshan this evening? So this is how intricate the web of Maya can be. Maya's web is phenomenally intricate. So that's why, you know, in the mode of goodness, we start to perceive things as they are. In the mode of passion, we're just guessing. And in the mode of ignorance, we've got it opposite. We've got it back to front, wrong way around. It states this clearly in the Bhagavad Gita. Different understandings, different perceptions of reality. Different levels of covering. So in the mode of goodness comes knowledge. Sattvam sanjayati jnanam comes knowledge. And pravritim cha nivrittim cha karya karya baya baye bandham moksham chaya veti. Veti to know. You know what to do, what not to do, what's your duty, what's not your duty, what's to be feared, what's not to be feared, what will cause you to become bound in karmic reactions, what will cause you to become freed from the karmic reactions. You're differentiating the world around you correctly. Of course, when you actually, this comes to this, what I said, spontaneous kind of natural realization, then you're on your way home back to Godhead. And in the mode of passion, it states that yaya dharmam adharmam cha, karyam cha karyam eva cha, ayatavat prajanati. That this understanding, what's religious, what's irreligious, what's right, what's wrong, what's your duty, what's not your duty, it's imperfectly understood. Ayatavat means imperfectly. And then in the mode of ignorance, under the illusion, you're taking it all to be the wrong way around. You're taking religion to be irreligion and irreligion to be religion, under the spell of darkness and delusion. So this sambandha, it starts with having these fundamentals understood, and then it proceeds from there. You apply that, abhideya, and then you get the result, which is Krishna prema, love of Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it states that Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva are bhava tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva sara. So first of all, understand who Krishna is, what is the tattva of Krishna. Then come to the point where you understand that the tattva of devotion to Krishna. Assimilate that, what it means to actually be devoted, and then start experiencing love for Krishna. And then the more esoteric realms will start to manifest. The bhava, all the emotions, the rasa, the mellows, and the lila, the pastimes of Krishna. So that's where the freedom lies. But freedom has to be earned, and it's earned by surrendering on all levels. I'll read the verse once more. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see, for his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the Super Soul who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. One last point, and then I have questions. This last line is very interesting. The super soul always stays with the individual soul as friend. And it spoke in the purport about the two birds sitting on the same tree. One bird is eating the fruit of the tree, the other is simply observing. The other bird is the super soul who is observing. This observing bird is always present as a friend. The eating bird, he is giving the eating bird remembrance. The point that, one of the points to take from this is that the bird is eating the fruits, is absorbed in its own sense gratification. And for us, as long as we're absorbed in our own sense gratification or in our own ego gratification, because of that absorption, we can't see the observing bird. We can't see that other entity who's our friend. And therefore, we can't communicate to that person, can't cultivate our relationship with that person. We're ignoring that person. We're ignoring Krishna. because of our own absorption in our own agenda. So that's why we have to practice renunciation along with the knowledge. Knowledge and renunciation both are the two tracks upon which the train going back to Godhead is running. If the bird stops eating the fruit for a minute and just becomes a little introspective, a little thoughtful, there's no doubt that that bird will notice the other bird in the tree. It's just got to happen. And if we also become introspective, thoughtful, we'll start to become more and more aware of Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, where it says, what is knowledge? It says it gives the items of knowledge, three or four verses. This is what constitutes knowledge. And it says, whatever's not in this list is ignorance. And the last two items on that list is to understand the importance of self-realization and to philosophically search for the absolute truth. Philosophically, that means, you know, scientifically search for the absolute truth. But as I began the class, understand that this is a science of a relationship. It's not a science of this material element with this material element. It's a science of this soul, which is the part and parcel of Krishna, and this soul, who is the absolute truth. It's a science of that relationship that we have to search for. Any comments or questions?